Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vidayatam Balo Guru Geha Dvijatibhi Vishnu Paksai Pratichannaya Na Vijetasya Dir Yata Samyag Vidaryatam Balo Guru Gehe Dvijatibhi Vishnu Pakshai Pratichchanair Na Vidyetasya Diryata Diryata. Okay, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 7. Translation. Hiranyakashipu advised his assistants, "My dear demons, give complete protection to this boy at the Gurukula, where he is instructed, so that his intelligence will not be further influenced by Vaishnavas who may come there in disguise." Repeat. Hiranyakashipu advised his assistants, "My dear demons, give complete protection to this boy at the Gurukula, where he is instructed, so that his intelligence will not be further influenced by Vaishnavas who may go there in disguise." Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In our Krishna consciousness movement, the tactic of dressing oneself like an ordinary karmi is necessary, because everyone in the demoniac kingdom is against Vaishnava teachings. Krishna consciousness is not at all to the liking of the demons of the present age. As soon as they see a Vaishnava dressed in saffron garments with beads on his neck and tilak on his head, they are immediately irritated. They criticize the Vaishnavas by sarcastically saying, "Hare Krishna." And some people also chant Hare Krishna sincerely. In either case, since Hare Krishna is absolute, whether one chants it jokingly or sincerely, it will have its effect. The Vaishnavas are pleased when the demons chant Hare Krishna, because this shows that the Hare Krishna movement is taking ground. The greater demons, like Hiranyakashipu, are always prepared to chastise the Vaishnavas, and they try to make arrangements so the Vaishnavas will not come and sell their books and preach Krishna consciousness. Thus, what was done by Hiranyakasipu long, long ago is still being done. That is the way of materialistic life. Demons are materialistic, do not like the advancement of Krishna consciousness, and they try to hinder it in many ways. Yet the preachers of Krishna consciousness must go forward in their Vaishnava dress or any other dress for the purpose of preaching. Chanakya Pandit says that if an honest person deals with a greater cheater, it is necessary for him to become a cheater also, not for the purpose of cheating, but to make his preaching successful. Good morning. So this is an interesting purport. It's connected with history and ISKCON. When devotees first were going out on Sankirtan with the ordinary dress, someone reported to Prabhupada that that this was all wrong and they're becoming hippies again, and Prabhupada was distressed. He said, "No, they can't do that. Hippie seeds." And so then the leaders of the book distribution, they approached Prabhupada and explained that because in America, especially at that time, most of the places we have to go to distribute books is private property, so it's not exactly legal, not exactly a crime, but the people, the owners of the parking lots and stuff, they have the right to kick you out. So when we went in looking like this, we were very conspicuous, and demons would see us right away, and they'd call and say, hey, the Hare Krishnas are here, and they're not supposed to be here. And so we started sneaking. So they explained that, you know, how if we went everywhere in distress, then that would reduce the book distribution so much, because we couldn't go most places. So Prabhupada said, oh. And then he wrote this purport right around that time. Because he explained it at the temple, it wasn't that everybody was just abandoning Tilak and everything, but only for the purpose of the preaching, of the covert action. Of course, some devotees will abandon the dress so they can go to movies and restaurants, and that's not acceptable. But for preaching, we need to, you know, go in their acceptable way, so that. But now we're finding that people are happy to see again in America devotees looking like devotees, and it's sometimes more advantageous to. But still, in many places where we go, that there's many, the main opposition, like in America, is from these fanatic Christians. They're not exactly really Christians, but they call themselves. So they don't like any other religion, including every other Christian and everybody. So if they see us, they immediately call somebody and say, hey, they're not supposed to be here, they're making trouble. So that if we are merging into the crowd, then we can preach. So for preaching, it's not exactly, you know, like it's not exactly what you say, but you know how you say it. It's not how you dress, but why. If what we do is for the purpose of preaching, for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada was very pleased. Sometimes devotees would say, well, the book distributors are saying things, and, you know, and Prabhupada said, oh, that's very good. They're attracting people. So we want to attract people. We want to do whatever we need to do to get people to take to Krishna consciousness. So this case is, Hiranyakasipu is, he doesn't, even though he, I think he knew that Prahlad had been with Narada Muni, he knew that, but he couldn't understand how he had been educated in the womb. So he thought that Vaishnavas must be sneaking around the demoniac kingdom and disguising themselves as demons and teaching his son. So he's telling the demon assistants to protect him, make sure that no Vaishnavas, you know, can pollute his mind. Which is, the demons are still doing that, even in India, right? Parents, some parents, they don't want their children to be influenced by the Vaishnavas. But in some countries, it's very, very strong. But other people, they like very much. They like, so even the demons, they may chant, oh, those stupid Hare Krishnas. Hare Krishna. They did so many. The drunken, crazy people, they imitate. Even Jagai and Madai, they were camped out where they could hear the kirtan. They didn't know what it was, but they would appreciate at least a Jagai. He would say, oh, I like that. Music sounds nice. I like that Nimai's dancing. So they got purified by that. Even though they thought it was some wedding dance or some Durga Puja or something, they didn't know what it was, but they were appreciating it. We had a case in Chicago. We were distributing many, many books in the airport. And there was one woman, especially Dorothy, and she worked at the UFO. What is it? USO, is it? U.S. services, you know, for the soldiers that are traveling, you know, so they can sit down and somebody helps them get around and stuff. So she was so much against us. And, of course, the young soldiers would buy a lot of books. And then she would, if she saw them with the book, she would rip out the pages and take a magic pen and write all over them and blaspheme and, you know, tell them that they'd been cheated. And she was trying like anything to have us removed, banned from our constitutional privilege of distributing books. So somehow she got interviewed by the newspaper, and they wrote a very, you know, negative article. The Hare Krishnas are doing this, the Hare Krishnas that, the Hare Krishnas this. And she was saying that these books, that nobody can read them because they're in foreign language. And at that time it was mostly the Krishna book. And so they pointed to that beginning of the Krishna book where it says, Krishna, 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 hey, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And they put the whole thing, you know, Rama, Raghava, Rama. And they said, just see, nobody can read this. It's in a foreign language. They're cheating everybody. They're taking their money and giving them something that nobody can read. I didn't notice that the rest of the book is in English. So the devotees, you know, the temple president got really disturbed, and he wrote an article in the newspaper about the regulated principles and how the devotees were, you know, sincere religious people. And then he wrote to Prabhupada, and he sent him a copy of the article. And he was really worried that this blasphemy was... And Prabhupada said that what you have answered is very good. And he said the person who wrote this article, they would get a lot of benefit because they put the name of Krishna so many times. He said the offense is temporary, but the effect of the holy name is permanent. So, and we saw that actually, that for a week or something, you know, many, many people, they were avoiding us, and they were, you know, oh, you people are rascals. But then after about a week, they were saying, oh, yeah, Hare Krishna, that was in the newspaper. I saw something, you know. So Prabhupada is saying here, so that we're happy, no matter what reason anybody chants, we want them to chant. The demons are worried about our movement spreading. In that same airport, we had a lot of adventures because at that time it was one of the major book distribution venues in the world. We had 25 devotees every day in the one airport, and everybody did at least 50 books. And there was all kinds of far out things. And some people would leave the books behind, and some of the maintenance cleanup people, they were demoniac. But some of them, you know, they would come and say, well, I found some of your books. And then we started buying the books, give them 50 cents. So they would save up like 20 books, and then they'd come and say, psst, Krishna, come here. And they would sell us the book. And so that all the janitors were looking everywhere. You know, they would go around looking in the phone box and looking all over in the trash barrels and stuff, looking for books. And then after they would save up, you know, a few books, they would come. And some of them started taking them home and reading them and, you know, becoming very favorable. And there was one policeman, undercover policeman, who was really against us. And he would come and he would stand behind us and tell people, it's Hare Krishna, don't buy it, you know, because we had the wigs and regular clothes. And it's Hare Krishna, don't buy the book, it's Hare Krishna. And I started joking around with him, and I would tell people, he's my brother, he's always making trouble. And, you know, it was like really crazy. And people would buy books anyway, you know, he would get really frustrated. And so one day I went, we used to, downstairs was the lockers, and we had the books in the lockers. So I would go to get books, and I saw him in a restaurant with somebody. I said, "Well, Joe, how you doing?" You know, and his friend started screaming, "Get out of here! Get away! Get away!" And I said, "What's wrong?" You know, he said, and he was the owner of this restaurant bar. He said, "You people, you know, I live by selling meat and whiskey, and you people are against it." And you know, so that was Prabhupada said like that. That's why they don't like us, you know, because they're afraid. They think that the pillars of their society is meat eating and gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. Just look around, you know, look at all the advertisements. Look at what's going on. You know, so they're really thinking that economy and life is based on these things. So when they find out like what we're preaching, then the demons, they get very disturbed. But Prabhupada said if they're disturbed, it's good. You know, if they're disturbed about our preaching, if they're disturbed that we're spreading the holy name and that we're distributing books, that's good. Then that means we're doing something. If they're disturbed because we're cheating people or, you know, misrepresenting what we're doing, or, you know, that's another thing. But even like in the Bible, Jesus says, if they hate you in my name, don't worry. You know, they're demons. So the world has, basically there's two kinds of people, ultimately demons and devotees. But in Kali Yuga, everyone is mixed up. They're acting like demons, but they're really devotees. They're being bewildered. They're misled, misdirected, you know, and so many unfortunate things in Kali Yuga. So we have to wake them up and, you know, tell them, actually, you're a devotee of Krishna. You're not that body. That sounds like a very simple thing, but bodily consciousness is so strong. And people are, you know, being brainwashed just unlimitedly that you are the body, and that, you know, the purpose of life is to decorate the body and feed the body, right? Perfume the body. So many nonsense things. Decorate the hairs. The Bhagavatam predicts, you know, that in Kali Yuga, beauty will be judged by hair. And now we see that, I don't know here, what do they call the hair cutting shops? Beauty shops? In most countries, it's called a beauty shop. You know, the hair cutting. And it's very expensive. Cutting, perming, coloring the hairs, right? Very, very expensive process. Some people are paying hundreds of dollars for haircuts or more. And they think that it's going to be the special one, for coloring the hair. If you go to Japan now, you don't find very many black-haired Japanese anymore. And every time I go, they're different. Sometimes it's reddish, sometimes brownish, sometimes blondish, you know. It just somehow or other, the Kali, the Maya, you know, pushes some new idea on everybody, how they're supposed to look, and all of a sudden everybody looks that way. And it's very expensive. They have to work hard. But they're thinking that by having this type of hair and this type of dress and this type of perfume, then I will attract the opposite sex. And then I will be happy. Pumsa Striya Maitini Bhavametam. This is the driving principle of material life. And in Kali Yuga now it's getting so perverted even they can't discriminate between opposite sex or same sex. So they're thinking that this is the greatest pleasure. And mai tu nadi griyamedi sukham mitucham. Like they think of the rubbing of two hands together to relieve an itch, you know, is the greatest thing. and it's being promoted by Kali everywhere, that this is the... So the demons, they think that to gratify the senses until the end of life is the goal of life, right? According to Krishna. You know, that they just want to go on and on and on. Yesterday a devotee told me he saw something in the news in Japan. One guy was 103 years old, and he died. And his last wish, he told his son that he wanted naked dancing girls to dance around his coffin at the funeral. So the son arranged that. You know, he was definitely influenced by the demoniac nature to gratify, even after death, thinking to gratify his senses or to entertain his friends, you know, in a nice way. So people are not getting any education even up until the end of life. Old age is meant, you know, that one can't work so hard anymore. You know, hopefully the senses become weaker, physically anyway. And then one can concentrate his energy for spiritual life, for vanaprastha, for meditation and prayer, renunciation. But nobody's being taught that. Most of the mainstream religions, they have no concept of renunciation. In Judaism, Muslim, there's no concept of renouncing family life. You know, you have to enjoy it until the very end. At the end of life, they want to be surrounded by their family, by all their brothers and, you know, whatever is left, especially the grandchildren and the children, so they can think, I'm living forever. They have no concept of the soul. So that we have a great mission to wake people up. Jeev Jago, Lord Chaitanya said, wake up. You know, how long are you going to sleep in the lap of the witch, Maya? You know, thinking of your body. You spend your days, even Lord Chaitanya said, what did he say? You spend your days uselessly decorating your bodies. And what to speak of, that was a long time ago. You know, now it's much worse. And you spend your nights sleeping. And now their minds are so disturbed they can't sleep without medication practically. Of course, the poor people can. I saw when I came from the airport, they're sleeping right on the street. Whole families. You know, the cars go by like this far away from them. They're right out. But the rich people in the big house have to take medicine to sleep. Then they have to take medicine to wake up because they're in so much anxiety. In America, they have, I saw every time I took a japa walk, a sleep clinic. You see them? Very opulent hospital just for sleep disorders. You know, have to go there to learn how to sleep. Spend lots of money, work so hard that they can't sleep for fear of losing their money. Then you have to spend it so you can sleep, because if you can't sleep, you can't work. So it's the predictions of the Bhagavatam are definitely manifesting everywhere. But the important aspect of Kali Yuga is also manifesting is Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement and the spreading of the holy name of, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And it is spreading all over the world, but we have a long way to go to put it in every town and village where people are chanting Hare Krishna. There's so many towns and villages all over the world. And there's so many people never heard of Krishna. Not just in the Muslim countries or just in the communist countries like China or, you know, Vietnam or something. But even in places where we are established, most of the people never heard of Hare Krishna. I mean, a few people have. Sometimes they stick some Hare Krishna in the movie. In Los Angeles, every once in a while, the Hollywood people come and take a few devotees to be in a movie. you know, have a Harinam or something, pay them, and they give them prasadam all the time and garlands. And so they know Hare Krishna and they know it's part of life, so every once in a while it pops up in a movie or some comedian makes a joke about Hare Krishna. You know, so that's good. They're chanting Hare Krishna, but they need to know much more. We need to be everywhere, inundating the airwaves in every way that we can get out all over the world, so that people will chant. Prabhupada is saying here, whether it's jokingly or sincerely, that's also in the scripture, for whatever reason. The Uddama Sloka Prabhu, I think you know him, he comes here. The first time from Russia, the first time he learned the mantra was one of these communist anti-religious books saying how stupid religion is. And it said that of all the religions, Hare Krishna is the stupidest, because all they do is just sing the same song all the time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he thought, you know, if they're doing it all the time, it must be good. And if the government is against it, it must be good also. So started looking for devotees and thinking about it. And he said many, many of the, you know, the devotees in Russia, that's how they got their exposure. When the government got worried about the Hare Krishna spreading, so they started spreading it by telling everybody it was bad. One devotee, I don't know where he is now, Mark, he was in high school, he was young, and somehow he became a devotee, and he was the only devotee in the village. So the KGB came, and they were asking everybody, do you know this Mark? Is he a Hare Krishna? Nobody knew what Hare Krishna was. But after the KGB left, then they all came to him and said, what is Hare Krishna? So we're glad that people chant for any reason. We saw in the Sankirtan newsletter one of the KGB men that was assigned to, you know, monitor the Hare Krishnas, he became a devotee. And, you know, and he was in Mayapur this year. He came, you know, by following the devotees around and watching them, and, you know, he became a devotee. So whatever way, but we have our standard means of getting out in the streets, chanting the holy name, holding festivals, distributing books, giving people that we meet, you know, the Maha Mantra. It has a great effect. I met one guy in the airplane on the way to Africa one time. And generally, I don't know, I'm hostile or something, but when I get on the airplane, nobody pays much attention. So once in a while, somebody moves away. But this guy was super friendly. He was an African, and he was telling me all about his life and how he lived in New Jersey and what his job was. And I was wondering, why is this guy so friendly, you know? Helped me put my bag up and, you know, everything. And then he told me when we were getting off, he said that he met a devotee in 1973 or 74 in Ghana, and he gave him a mantra card. He said, I still have it. This was like a couple years ago. He said, I still have it. I keep it all the time. And whenever I'm distressed, I say that prayer, and I like it. It helps me. Hare Krishna. So I told him, well, you can chant. Even if you're not distressed, you can. Because most people don't realize that it's always in a dangerous position. You know? They don't. A devotee, it's not exactly distressed, but, you know, we realize that we should be gasping. I even heard one Christian talking about the fish out of water. You know, you need Krishna, you need God, you need love. Are you gasping? Are you dying, you know, for it? And you know that you have nothing else to help you. Actually, there's a story of the guru. He held the disciple under the water, you know, and then he said, what were you thinking? He said, oh, I need air, I need air. He said, yeah, when you feel like that you need Krishna, then, you know, you'll get somewhere. When you feel like this, you can't think of anything else except I've got to chant, you know, I want Krishna. I want to be with Krishna. because being separated from Krishna, being that is the most miserable condition. Shouldn't be taken lightly, you know. But most people, they pray once in a while. Devotees even chant once in a while, but we want to chant all the time. We want to be always, you know, being with Krishna. We can be with Krishna. Krishna is present. The holy name is Krishna. The deity is Krishna. So we want to be busy in devotional service. And chanting is service. Chanting attentively means, you know, we really associate with Krishna. And then by associating with Krishna, we can develop the qualities of Krishna, which is, you know, the blissful. The soul is by nature blissful. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the mind and the soul, they're always at odds with each other. Because the mind is not blissful, right? The mind is flickering and unsteady, right? Arjuna says. It's constantly changing. You people know a lot about computers. I don't know what they call it. You know how a computer can do so many processes per second or something. The mind can do much, much faster than any computer. Change, you know, go here, go there, go everywhere, go, you know, and keep more and more things on it all at the same time. And then it gets boggled, bewildered. It gets information overload. That's just like the body. In Ayurveda, they call am. If you eat too much, you know, you get jammed up. Your digestive system gets stuffed up. Your lungs will get stuffed up, you know, from the polluted air. And your blood will get cholesterol. And that's all am, it's called. And so the mind also, by taking in too much information, can also become jammed up. So for the blood, you know, you have blood purifier, you have purgatives, we have busti and you know, purgative medicine, and you have so many different processes to clear the am out of the digestive system and out of the blood and out of the lungs, right, and out of the sinuses, right? Anybody's experience having this stuffed up here, right? You have to get it out one way or another. So, and there's many different medicines or yoga processes and different ways to do it. And for the mind, when the mind is overloaded, then the only thing is kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare. That clears the mirror of the mind and the cleans the heart, actually. Chaito darpana marjanam, bhava mahada vagani nirvapanam, shera kairava chandika vitaranam vijavadu jivanam, anandam buddhi vardhanam. It increases the ocean, the limits of the ocean of bliss. You know, it's quite amazing, the Sankirtan movement. So all glories to Sri Krishna Sankirtan, Hare Krishna. We want that everywhere. We want to, when we chant loudly, that means so that other living entities can hear it. That means publicly, one way or another, then that is much more effective for us because we're benefiting so many other living entities. When we read the book, it's very good. When we distribute the books, then that's much better. We have to do both. When you eat prasadam is good, but distributing it is better. You know, giving prasadam to as many people as possible. ISKCON is actually giving, somebody gave, you know, how many millions of plates of prasadam every day? Very inconceivable numbers, actually. And it's benefiting so many people. It makes people chant also. It makes people favorable to Hare Krishna. Every time people meet a devotee, they get a favorable experience. Otherwise, if they never meet a devotee, they might believe the demoniac propaganda that it's an evil cult and they're brainwashing and all the different things. Even these people still say, you know, it's dangerous. In Russia, they were saying that, you know, they don't let people eat meat, and that, you know, you can't live without meat. They said that in the court even. You know, of course, then when they showed the diet, they showed the cookbook, and they showed only halva and sweet rice or something. Not the most healthy aspect of our diet. But these are the demons. They're worried. I saw even America, like about 10 years ago, the beef society. They're in a lot of anxiety because beef eating has been going down for many years. They said this is due to rampant vegetarianism. And we have to make propaganda against vegetarianism. So they do that. They do insane things. They say that, you know, that the children of vegetarian, they might not get enough protein, and then they'll be less intelligent. So, you know, if you have some kind of insane religious idea that you can't feed your children meat, at least you have to give them lots of soybeans. You know, they have to have protein. But there's no scientific evidence of that, but they promote it as being scientific. People still get bewildered by these things, especially in the third world countries. They believe that nonsense. The Christians will say, well, the Bible says you have to eat meat. But if you say, where does it say that? Nobody can show you. But somebody's telling them that. The people have to connect with Krishna. What Mother Teresa said, that the hunger for food is a big problem in the world, but the bigger problem is the hunger for love. People want to be loved. You want to love someone, and you want someone to love you back. But Krishna is the best. He's the only one that can reciprocate. He has unlimited love for every living entity, and he has no limit. You know, in order to pay attention to one, just like Krishna, he showed us with his in Dwarka that even Narada Muni, who perfectly knows Krishna more than anyone else, was bewildered when he went around the palaces, right? Because he saw that in every palace, Krishna was there, and he was performing different activities in every one. Sometimes he was intimately with the wife, sometimes he was with the children, sometimes he was with some ministers or something having a meeting, sometimes he was by himself doing something, and he was bewildered. And every wife of Krishna thought, Krishna's only with me, I'm so fortunate. Right? Now if I had five wives, then four of them would always be thinking, you know, where is my husband? You know, he's ignoring me. But Krishna's wives always, all of them thought that he's favoring me. All of them thought that. Because he was with all of them at the same time. And that's just 16,000, that ordinary people can never even believe that. But Krishna, with every living entity, is on that level. He's with everybody at all times. He can intimately associate with every living entity and reciprocate. So, yaya tamam prapajante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. I just learned recently that that's also twice in Bhagavad Gita. As we approach Krishna, whatever we give to Krishna, we get back. You give love, you get love. Right? You give service, you get service. You give envy, you ignore Krishna, he'll ignore you. He's very kind. He gives whatever you want. So we want to give to Krishna. We want to be thinking how to please Krishna, how to serve Krishna, how to give everything to Krishna. Body, mind, soul, and words. Everything for Krishna. We don't want to just offer flowers at the feet, throw some flower, but we want to give our life, not only this life, but eternally. for the service of Krishna. It's not like there's any loss. The mind will think, well, what if I give everything to Krishna, then what about me? He might take everything and run, right? But like Prabhupada explained about when we offer food to Krishna, we get it back. Krishna eats it, but it's still there. But it's much better. Prabhupada said, it's not like when you give it to me, I eat everything and there's nothing left for you. But if you give it to Krishna, when we give it to Krishna, it just gets better. Everyone has experience. The prasadam is much better than bhoga, right? So we become attached to taking prasadam. We don't want to eat bhoga. It's the same ingredients, and it may be the same recipe and everything, but it's so much different because it's Krishna. So there's no loss giving to Krishna. There's whatever, the more we give to Krishna, the more he gives back. If we give all our intelligence and all our energy and all our, activities to Krishna, then that's the best thing anyone can do. And we want to tell everybody. We want to encourage people and help people. Not everybody can do that immediately, but step by step. Krishna gives in chapter 12, how to step by step, gradually come to the point of full surrender to Krishna. Giving up the idea that I have to take care of myself. But Krishna is taking care of everyone. But he's reciprocating according to, what they give him. The demons, like Kamsa, they wanted to fight with Krishna. So he fought with them. Ravana. And they wanted to fight. Hiranyakasipu. He hated Krishna. So Krishna satisfied him. He fought with him and killed him. The gopis, they wanted to love Krishna. They wanted to dance with Krishna. They wanted to intimately associate. So he did that. And all the different living entities, however they want to serve Krishna, he reciprocates. They give everything to Krishna. There's no loss, no diminution. It protects one from the greatest danger. All these things are true. And we'll be protected then from the demoniac influence. Sometimes demons come acting like devotees also and try to pollute the devotees. Right? There's all kinds of Kali Chela, Bhaktivinoda said. They look like devotees. They act like devotees. But they preach apasiddhanta. So Rupa, Rupa goes, or says, was it Bhakti Siddhanta, apasiddhanta, dwanta, harani. It was anything that was against the proper siddhanta given by Rupa Goswami, he was smash it. So we have to know, we have to study from the previous acharyas, especially from Srila Prabhupada, who gave us the digestible version of the previous acharya's teachings. So we know what is the proper siddhanta. So if someone is presenting something different, we won't become bewildered. We'll be strong and stick to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement and be able to blissfully give Krishna consciousness to the entire world. A lot of people out there, there's in 10 years, it's going to be something like 10 billion people on Earth. So we need to a lot unify and push on and keep publishing and keep distributing and, bring everybody to take prasadam, everyone to hear the holy name. All right? Same old message. We don't change it. Ever fresh Krishna. Devotees can hear again and again and again about Lord Chaitanya's activities, about Krishna's leelas, about, Hiranyakasipu and Lord Nisringadev. We don't get tired of hearing these things. In fact, devotees beg, please tell me again and again. Arjuna said, the sages also said, Naimisharanya, tell me again and again. We never get tired of hearing this nectar. We never get tired of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare. The more we chant, it gets better and better. Fresher and fresher. All the time. Okay? Time to stop. Any question? You guys probably have a lot more to do all day. You've got tight schedules, right? Right? All kinds of classes. Thank you very much. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Ji Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shri Gopal Ji Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki Jai.